Good morning. This is Kevin Carlisle, minister of the First Christian Church. And today is the first Sunday of Advent. It's the first Sunday that leads up to Christmas. There's four Sundays of Advent. And then the final Sunday, which is Christmas Sunday, is the fifth Sunday. And during Advent, we will be celebrating different aspects of the coming of Christ. And this first Sunday, we're celebrating hope. And I picked the passage that has one of my favorite verses about hope. And it's in the final verse that I'll be reading. I'll be reading from Romans chapter 15, 5-13. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Again, it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love how our passage talks about overflowing with hope. God is the God of all hope. I read a definition of hope, and what it is this. It's a desire of some good with an expectation of obtaining it. You're just hoping for some good to come out of this situation, and you have an expectation of obtaining it. Us humans were designed to have hope. And when we go through transitions in life, it may be that we'll have to change what we're hoping for, but we always need to have hope. We always need to have a desire of some good with an expectation of obtaining it. And the scriptures tell us that God is a God of all hope. And he overflows us with hope. Isn't that wonderful? I picked this passage just because of that scripture, because I really want to talk about hope in a topical sort of way. But I also want to talk about comfort, because there's another verse, and I would like to read it to you from 2 Corinthians 1:3. And it tells us that God is the God of all comfort. And I'll read it to you in a minute, but I want to just say this about comfort. Comfort eases grief and consoles the person that is going through grief. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, capital C. And so we see in these two passages that he's the God of all hope, and he's the God of all comfort. So let me read you the passage that he is the God of all comfort, 2 Corinthians 1:3, and actually also verse 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Think about that. He's the God of all hope and the God of all comfort. I think that this Advent, and when we light the candle of hope, is especially significant as we go through Thanksgiving and Christmas, because we have been going through a pandemic and are going through a pandemic, and there's a lot of sorrow and a lot of suffering. Many of us have experienced a lot of loss, not just with loved ones, but many of us of loved ones, but also how things have changed. The way churches gather, the way families gather, the restrictions on things, just all of the changes that don't feel life-giving is hard, and people are grieving. They're feeling a loss, and as they're grieving, it's like they get hit with another wave of something. Now, I happen to know that many of us in our church have lost loved ones, and we've lost them for many different reasons. Some have died of COVID. Some have died for other reasons. But when you go through the holidays and you're filled with grief, it's especially painful because the holidays are a time when we want to be intimate and together, not in a state of suffering. And I just want to say that when we're grieving, we might be filled with all kinds of feelings. And the Bible does comment on how to deal with our feelings of grief and sorrow. I want to use as an example a psalm that David wrote, Psalm chapter 34, verse 18. Or excuse me, it's Psalm 32, verses 5 and 6. Or actually, it starts with verse 3. Now, this is a time when David was disappointed with himself. And here's what he said when he kept silent. He says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. When we're disappointed with ourselves, when we're disappointed with a situation we're grieving, and we hold it in, it's like we're groaning. We're not mourning, we're groaning. When somebody that we love has died and passed on, and we keep silent and we hold it in, we're groaning, not mourning. Mourning, and this is verified by experts in grief counseling, is when we publicly express our feelings. Now, that doesn't mean broadcasting it out over the radio or getting up in front of church, but it does mean talking about how you feel, about your feelings. I think sometimes journaling can help. But finding a trusted friend or going to a counselor and talking about your feelings. Not judging yourself for your feelings. Sometimes we don't want to talk about our feelings because we disagree with our feelings. Maybe we're angry. Maybe we feel guilty. We can have a whole variety of feelings. And feelings aren't right or wrong. Sometimes they can be clues to what's going on with us, but they need to be expressed. And so as we go through the holidays, let me ask you, are you stuffing your feelings? Are you groaning? Or are you finding a way to express your feelings, to express what you're going through, to talk about your loved one who has passed on, to share memories? There's something about talking to somebody who's really listening that gives us hope. As we tell our story, we have little aha moments, and we put things together that gives us an insight and an understanding of how we can move forward. But when we just stuff our feelings, we get stuck. So this is what David was saying, and I think it applies to any kind of grief. He was having grief over his own shortcomings, but it can be grief over the loss of a loved one. It can be grief over the loss of a job. It can be grief because you're having financial problems or you're not able to gather as a family like you have in prior years, or a combination of all of that. So one major way and step towards coping is to, I guess you'd call it vent. Vent to a safe person who will really listen. In your prayer, vent to God. Let God know how you feel. This is what David did in the Psalms. And if you're the person that's listening, I want to encourage you to be what is often called a supportive presence. That means you don't need to talk as much as the person that's talking. In fact, you should really listen. And when you do talk, you should share back to the person the feelings and content of what they're saying. It's like, you're really upset about this. You're really angry. You're really feeling guilty. You're feeling really bad, and you don't know how to cope with that feeling. And the person will either say, yes, that is true, or no, not quite. And maybe they'll tell you a little bit more. Listening is a very spiritual practice. And this is really a key to prayer. The psalmist said in another psalm, be still and know that I am God. See, in prayer, we not only vent to God, but we also listen. And sometimes that listening is just being still. And if you're a friend to somebody who's going through grief, or maybe you're both going through the same grief, just being together in silence can be very powerful and very healing. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Again, mourning is when we express how we feel and we share it with others. We know in biblical days, they had very explicit ways of expressing their mourning. But it needs to be genuine and authentic mourning, not just going through a ritual. Sometimes things that have become rituals are genuine, and sometimes they're just going through the motions. No, it needs to come from our heart. It needs to be a genuine expression of what's going on within us and a sharing of that with others. This is major in how we can receive comfort from each other and from the Lord. And I want to just also emphasize that we need to be patient with ourselves. When you're going through mourning, you don't have as much energy as you used to have. That's a fact. It takes a lot of energy when you're grieving and mourning. And we need to be patient with ourselves, that we don't have the same level of energy that we used to. Maybe you don't have the same energy to create, you know, the perfect holiday dinner or whatever it might be. This is a time to be patient. This is a time to not judge ourselves for our feelings. This is a time to be gentle with ourselves, because grief has stages just like anything else. You can't force yourself to get over the grief. You have to let yourself go through the process. And I want to encourage you to let yourself be comforted. Sometimes we resist sharing our grief, and we resist publicly sharing and mourning because we don't want to be comforted. We don't want to burden somebody. But the only way to get healed is to mourn. And so I want to encourage you to find that trusted person as you're going through the holidays and to really share what you're going through. And I also want to just say a few things about Jesus. Jesus understands what it's like to be us. We're told in Hebrews 4:15 that he was tested in every way that we are. He knows what it's like to go through suffering and grief. And in fact, Isaiah 53:3, which was a prophecy about the coming Messiah, tells us that Jesus was a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Do you remember when Jesus' good friend Lazarus died? And in verse 33, it says, when Jesus saw her weeping, meaning Mary, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He said. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And then verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. And the Jews said, see how he loved him. So as the friends of Jesus were mourning, he mourned with them. In the scripture, it says, laugh with those who laugh and cry with those who cry. So if you're a friend to somebody who's going through mourning, if they tell a funny story about their loved one and they laugh, then laugh with them. If they express sadness, then be sad with them. Relate to them. This is what the God of all comfort is all about. This is how he consoles us. This is how he eases our grief, through others and through us extending comfort to others. As a person of faith, you may be disappointed with God because of what has happened. You don't understand how God could have allowed this to happen. But let me just tell you that we are promised over and over in Scripture that God will never leave us. And Jesus came to tell us that God is for us, not against us. And so we see in this example of Jesus weeping of how God feels when we go through loss. I don't have the answers for why things happen the way they do. I wish I did. But I do know that God goes through things with us, and God loves us, and God cares about us, and God is the God of all comfort, seeking to ease our pain, to console us, and He's the God of all hope, so that we can hope with expectation that God will bring some good out of our suffering. I want to encourage you to not ignore your suffering if you are going through suffering. Reach out. There's many resources available if you don't know who to turn to or how to get help. Call me if you want to, and I will help you find resources. I can also be a good listener. Thank God that we have each other. Thank God that we have families and we have friends. I want to encourage you that the God of all comfort and the God of all hope is for you and is with you. God bless.